Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. I'm just very, very excited again today, as I always am, every time I have an opportunity to talk to my special guest for tonight. Again, I'm just very, very pleased to be able to bring to you a life changer. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to bring to you somebody that can change your life if you want it changed, if you really want it, to enhance the quality of your life. That is, of course, if you really want it, and that whether or not you really want it or not, the proof will be in the pudding, right? The proof will be whether or not you take the information that you're going to hear today and run with it. The title of today's show is You're Never Too Old to Change. We're going to be talking about holistic health for seniors. And if you follow the show regularly, you know that King Coy Dunstan is a regular on my show. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. And he's one of the guests that I regularly bring on. And he's a person, actually, he was actually the first regular guest that I had on the show. And after interviewing him as many times as I have, I knew that I wanted him to be a regular. I knew that I wanted to keep bringing his voice back on because the information that he shares and the way that he shares it is so valuable. It's necessary. And like I said, it can change your life. He's got a very, very powerful testimony. And I'm just very humbled and honored to have an opportunity to speak to one of my favorite people. King Coy, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine, my brother. It's great to have you.
Good evening to Jawanza, to you and your family and the audience, listening audience. Good to be back with you again and eager to get on with the conversation.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about holistic health for seniors. You know, sometimes people get reach a certain age and, you know, stuff starts breaking down and they can't do the things that they used to do. They can't move like they used to move. And although we, you know, talk about holistic health all the time, there may be some specific considerations for seniors that we can talk about. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening. First, let me thank you for taking the time to listen. I see the numbers out there. When you, every time somebody listens, I'm alerted. So I know that the numbers are growing and that you love listening to King Coy Dunstan. But although we talk about holistic health all the time, I'd like to take a show and dedicate it to seniors because, again, there may be some specific health considerations for seniors that we can talk about. And, again, keeping in mind the theme that you are never too old to change. Well, Brother Coy, before we get started, my brother, can you, if you'd be so kind, I know you've given your testimony so much to me. I could give it for you. I know it. But for those those who have not heard it before, I would encourage you to listen closely to the testimony that you are about to hear. It's amazing just how God will use any situation to take your life down a different path. And so I'd love for you to listen to this testimony and to share it, because I'm sure that when you hear it, we can all relate. You know somebody that has a condition, you know somebody, everybody knows somebody that's dealing with something, suffering from something. Well, this show today could actually be the answer to your prayers. You've been praying, you've had other people pray for you and with you. Well, guess what? If it's health related, I guarantee you this show is the answer to your prayer. So let me move out of the way. Brother Coy, could you share with our listeners what got you started on the holistic health path?
Yeah, well, back, it was 1980, just graduating from law school. I went home to spend some time with my family in North Carolina. And when I got there, the day I got there, my mother had just was leaving the doctor's office, and she came in the house saying that the doctor told her to go to Duke University as soon as possible because whatever she had, he couldn't diagnose it. So the next morning, my father and I got up, and we drove up to Duke University Hospital and took my mother inside and waited for, well, most of the day. And at the end of the day, they came out and said, we're going to keep her. We think we find that she have some conditions that need further examination. So we stayed there. Well, we went home that night, and we went back up the next day, and Nicola came out and told us eventually that they had found terminal cancer in her colon and breast and her liver.
Mm.
And they kept her there and they tried to do whatever they could, whatever they did do. And at the time, they didn't just put you on the chemo, but eventually, after about 2 or 3 weeks, they came out and say, well, we've done all we can do, and you've either got to take the chemotherapy or, you know, leave the hospital. There's nothing else we could do. You know, they didn't. Back then, they would let you stay in the hospital as long as you needed to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And at least up until they got tired of you, and that eventually they say you can't stay here anymore, and she had to go. She asked me, what
mm-hmm.
would I do if I was her? Would I take the chemotherapy or would I just go home? I say, well, I don't know anyone that had really survived chemotherapy. It's not a really, you know, it's not a big deal to me. So I would say, I would just get my stuff together, get my mind together, go home and get ready to meet my maker. So after day or so, she took my advice, and we went home, and I felt an obligation to make her as comfortable as I could, and felt the need to look at what was happening and see if there was anything I could do. I'm always trying to do something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into this company called Nature Sunshine that had all of this about how you live, how do you get rid of disease, how you prevent disease, what can you do to get well, and how to exercise, all of those things, learn about all the systems in the body. And I started applying it with my mother, and after about probably around the second or third month, we started getting some results. We were doing the fasting, we were doing the juicing, we were doing what we could to exercise and trying to calm her down and get her up to a place to where she could heal. And she responded well enough for the results were that she was getting better. And around that time, about 2 or 3 months after we first went in the hospital, Nature Sunshine came up with this product called Potiaco. It was reputed to have emptied the cancer wards in New Mexico, and all it was just the you know, best thing since sliced bread. So got that installed using that, and after about probably at about 6 months, we went back to the doctor, and they were shocked that she was still alive, number one, and number two, that she was doing so well. So they told her to keep doing what she's doing, and, you know, if you come back and see us once a month or so, and they sent her home saying it was okay. So eventually they told her that the cancer was under remission, and they were just amazed to know that it could happen, and my mother was back up and back in the world, and she went on to preach in the pulpit and all of that kind of stuff. She just lived her life out, and about 10 years after that she died, and that was my miracle. After that I couldn't do anything else but what I'm doing today, and I do that in remembrance of my mother, and I've always have, and I continue to do that as long as God says so. And that's why I do what I do, and that's why I am where I am today. So if I try to assist anyone that's willing to and want to get well, I can I do whatever I can to assist them. We have the products, we have the food, the change in the diet, all of that. We can make recommendations on what might work best for people in terms of how to work with the disease, a terminal disease or prevention or whatever situation you want to get into. But the main thing is that you have to make up your mind to do it, and then we can help you with making the decisions you need to make to address your condition. So that's in the short, that's my
mm-hmm.
story.
Well, you know, you said something, and it's such a powerful story that every time I hear it, it really makes me pause, you know, when I think that you actually cured your mother of cancer. The very first time that you had worked with anybody holistically, and she had cancer, been diagnosed with cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's three different places, four different if you want to count both breasts, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and then to have actually seen God's plan at work. I mean, because that was the plan. Initially, the plan was that we didn't eat meat and dairy and all this other kind of stuff. The initial plan, if you go back to Genesis and look, was that we eat the herbs, the nuts, and the fruits.
Right.
You know.
True, true, yeah.
So when you see, when you saw the plan in action right before your eyes, you know, because going into it, like you said, you were just trying to make her life better, you know, during her last days. I mean, the plan was that plan. Yeah, to make her feel comfortable. And then to mess around and cure, that must have really blown your mind, my brother. Because it blows mine just hearing it. Witnessing.
That's why, I do what I do. I couldn't do nothing else after that. That's what I've been doing all my life, and it's like my ministry, I guess, and I try to live it and keep up with it the best I can.
Well, you know, one thing you said too that was very important is that you said if people come to you, you can assist them. That means assist means that there's going to be more than you involved in this process. Of course, there's God in the process, but you are going to actually assist the person. That implies that they have a role to play in this as well, and that you are there to assist them. You can't do it for them.
That's correct.
To be, like you said, be a made up mind and be willing to make some changes in their life that's going to facilitate the healing process. Correct.
And they got to be willing to trust in something other than what they trusting in. Because oftentimes, if you have a degenerative disease or terminal disease, if you stay with the doctor, chances are you're going to die. It's going to be hard for you to come out of it. If you do go through their treatments, the chemotherapy and the radiation and the drugs that they put you under, you're just walking around a zombie, and sooner or later they're just going to wipe you out. So you have to be willing to trust in something other than that, and I find that to be the biggest problem with us. We put all our trust in the medical doctors, and they put all their trust in witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you call it witchcraft, because a lot of times people, when they think of herbs, that's the first thing that comes to their mind is something spooky or, you know. But actually, herbs is in the Bible. The Bible
that's the beginning of the process. They brainwash you into doing what they want you to do. So the things that are best for you, they would tell you they're the worst for you, and they will lead you down a road that will only benefit them. They want money in their pocket. They want to get rid of you because there's too many of y'all here. You're useless eaters. You don't want nothing to do. You can't do nothing. And that's what they want you to believe. And we fall for that every time by giving our life over to them and not having the ability to determine what's best for us in our own life. And that's what it's all about. And particularly as you get older, you got to be more concerned about. Yeah, and you should know what's going to work for you and what's not. You should be able to understand what's going on when you go talk to a doctor. You should understand what he's talking about. If you don't understand what he's talking about, then you need to leave it alone and go talk to someone that can help you understand what you need to do. Because otherwise, they'll just kill you. It doesn't matter to them. They can kill you and not have to go to jail and not have to answer to nobody and not even have to miss a night's sleep. You're just another patient, another practice, and that's what they do with us as we go, and they really want to get rid of you because you're taking up time and space and you're wasting energy and you're using up resources and, you know, it's a whole list of things that they do to get you off the planet, and we need to turn that around so that we can begin to at least understand what we need to do for ourselves in terms of surviving through this process of life without dying sick. The whole idea, you don't have to die sick. You can do things to make things better for you in terms of healing yourself. That's the only way you're going to get healed. You're going to have to heal yourself. And there are things you can do to assist your body in coming back to that. And that's what you need to learn how to do before you get to a place to where you can't do that anymore.
You know, Brother Quay, you in your last comments, you mentioned about how, you know, if you need to understand what the doctor's talking about. And I think that wherein lies the problem for a lot of people is they figure, well, I don't need to know what the doctor's talking about, just as long as he know what he's talking about.
But that's your first mistake. See, you're giving your life over to somebody else. That you don't know whether they know what they're doing or not. I mean, can they say they've cured anybody? Can they say that we've gotten rid of the diseases? We suffer from the same diseases as we've been suffering from ever since I've been on this planet, and the same people getting paid, and the same people keep dying. So I don't get it.
Everybody, if you have a question, all you have to do is just, if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I'll know that you have a question or like to make a comment, and I can bring you on, and you can talk to my guest today. My special guest is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I titled this show, You're Never Too Old to Change. You are never too old to change. It's specifically dealing with holistic health for seniors, and I think that there are a lot of people who might take the position that, you know, oh, I'm old now, you know, I don't, you know, I'm getting ready to go meet God soon anyway, you know, so they would just kind of like rather just ride it on out than to actually make some changes that might require them letting go of some things that they might really like, you know, like for example, food. I mean, we're addicted.
Yeah, the biggest
food,
one, yeah.
You know. As we talk specifically about seniors, Brother Coy, there are certain ailments that might be considered a senior disease. And of course, I'm not talking about the ones that everybody would be familiar with, would be like Alzheimer's or dementia or something. I mean, that's real too. But even high blood pressure, you know, you don't, I mean, and you're starting to find more younger people getting high blood pressure now. But for somebody that has high blood pressure, that might be in their seniors, you know, let's say, and we'll just talk about seniors, okay, somebody like, say, 70 and up, and the doctor's got them on high blood pressure medication, and they're ready to change. I mean, they say, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of taking this medication. I need to make some changes in my life, and I think I'm ready. Let's take a couple of diseases at a time, and we'll talk about them. What, for say, high blood pressure? Somebody, a senior that's on medication, something, a drastic change might not be what is necessary, or it depends, I guess, on, you know, how high the blood pressure is, and what other conditions they might have that might have contributed to the high blood pressure. But when you are dealing with a senior, I would imagine that you have to take into consideration that they are, in fact, a senior, and that, you know, the change might have to be gradual. Is that something, would you agree with that, or would it be just the opposite of that? If they're a senior, then they need to really jump on this now while they have some time now.
Well, I think if you realize that you're doing something that's making you sick, you need to stop. I mean, that's right now. I mean, you don't have to wait for that. You can stop. I mean, you don't have to maybe stop the medication right now, but you have to get control of yourself, because until you get control of yourself, no medication is going to help you. No herb is going to help you until you get control of yourself. So if you have something like high blood pressure, you have to identify what is it that's causing your pressure to go up. I know being black in America is enough. But if you look at it deeper, there's something else going on that your relationships, or you're under stress at the job, or your money ain't right. All of those things can push your pressure up. So the first thing you need to recognize is that you need to do something about that. You either need to get out of the situation or learn how to cope with it in a way that it don't cause your pressure to go up. Now, you can do that while you take your medication, but the idea is that as you get control of your situation, you can begin to reduce your medication and start using some of the, you know, even not even taking herbs, but just relaxing, learning how to relax, learning how to walk, walking, exercising, all those things that we know we need to be doing can contribute to bringing your pressure under control. You can begin to take the herbs, and as your pressure go down, you can increase the herbs and decrease the medication. And you can do this all under doctor's care. If not, you should be. You can find a holistic doctor or a herbalist or someone you can work with that can at least monitor you and give you some suggestions on how to go about addressing your concerns. But the idea is that once you recognize that you have this problem and you are like 70 and above, you need to start slowing down. I mean, if you haven't done it by now, chances are you won't do it. And then too, if you don't change, you're definitely cutting your chances of getting whatever you want done in your lifetime. So you're almost forced to make a change. If you don't, you're going to kill yourself. If you do, you can at least begin to manage your life in a way that maybe you can complete some of the things that you have or need to do or want to do before you die. But you're really getting your life in order so you can get out of here, and you need a clear mind to do that so you can take care and tie up all your loose ends and make sure you're leaving things in order so you don't leave your mess on someone else to clean up. And that's really the whole idea, and you have to really get yourself in order in a place to do that. And it's up to you how you do it, and you can do it with your diet, your living, and your exercise, and your herbs, or you can try to deal with the doctor if you feel like that's the only way you can do it is going to the doctor. But whatever you do, you got to get yourself on a plan to try to get your body in a position where it'll operate on its own as best it can. So you don't want to die sick, and you don't want to die drugged up or with some kind of mental disability that nobody can understand you, and you can't understand what other people are saying. So you really want to get rid of the drugs and get on a good natural program that will, stop the bad habits, stop the sugar, stop the meat as best you can, and stop eating the things you know you shouldn't eat, and begin to at least learn how to feed your body so your body can get something, so you can get enough endurance to get through the day without having to worry about your pressure. So in short, that's kind of how I would address that issue with someone over 70. Get control of yourself and begin to reduce your dependency on anything. Do you smoking or drinking or drugs or, try to reduce your dependency on all that and start clearing your head so you can leave here in a peaceful mind.
You know, brother, could we talk for a moment just about the difference between listening and receiving? Because, I've found that when it comes to discussing holistic health with people, there are some people that hear what you say and they receive it. I mean, they say, "That's it. Thank you. That's what I'm calling Brother Coy in the morning," And then you have some people who listen, and they listen politely, and because they know you care about them, they're appreciative of the fact that you're sharing the information, but they don't really have no intention on changing. For whatever reason, whether it's the addiction to the food or the addiction to the lifestyle, they listen politely, they hear you, and out of courtesy, they might not interrupt you, they might let you finish what you're saying, but they already know before you finish your comments that, after they finish talking to you, they're going to get a cheeseburger, Could you talk about the difference, the importance when hearing this information? If it's going to benefit you, you've got to receive it. And what would be the test, or what would be the proof that you actually received it, is that you actually start making measurable changes, Because there are times when, I've talked to people and they say, "Oh yeah, I'm working on it. Hey, how's it coming with you? Have you started your plan yet? Oh, I'm working on it." But working on it is not a measurable statement. A measurable statement is, for example, I used to eat meat 3 times a week, but now, I've cut back to 1. That's something that's measurable. Something that you can quantify. So could you talk about the importance of receiving this information? And it's not until you actually receive it that you're going to actually make some measurable changes in your life.
Well, I think the receiving is important because you got to understand what it is that the consideration here is after you receive it, what are you going to do with it? You know, knowledge is power, they say, but you have to use the knowledge for it to be powerful. You can know whatever is in a book, but if you don't know how to apply it, you're going to have a mm-hmm. problem with that knowledge. So I think it still goes back to the inner person. You got to really say, this is my weakness, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need to stop doing. And then you need to be able to have the discipline, and which is something most of us don't have, is the discipline, because we're so addicted to a lifestyle. You got to get to a place to where you can get that discipline, and you can get that discipline by, you know, reading your spiritual books, the Bible for one. You can go to classes and listen to with other people and talk through whatever you are going through. You can go to a counselor. You can. There's many ways to build that discipline, but until you get the discipline to stop, and that comes from a desire to do so, it's not much you can do to, even if you receive it, to really apply it. And that's the whole consideration. We get caught up in this lifestyle, and it's addictive, and it's just like we can't break it. So anyone that can really determine that they're going to make this change and do it is the exception to the rule. Some of us may do it for a day or two, but to really make that change and turn around 180 degrees, in other words, repent, is something that mm-hmm. we have a problem with, and we really have to work to get there. So it's part of the process of working through the whole getting a healing process. That's part of it. You got to first make up your mind to do it. Once you know what to do, then you got to make up your mind to do it, and then you got to go through the process or go through whatever it takes to get there, to get it done.
Well, brother, let's take another one here. How about diabetes? Somebody might be suffering with that. There may be somebody out there that's been praying to God for an answer to their condition. The condition might be diabetes. Could you talk about diabetes in seniors, for example? Somebody might be on getting medication for their diabetes. I know part of the answer, I'm sure, will be, well, the first thing you have to do is, like you just mentioned earlier, stop whatever it is, first diagnose what caused the diabetes, and then deal with that. But when it comes to diabetes and people that are taking medication for that, how would you address that with a senior? Again, you're dealing with somebody 70 and up. How would you address that if somebody came to you? What would be the first thing that you would recommend if they came to you and told you that they were diabetic and they were currently taking diabetic medication?
There is a good question. This is where you need to really do some research. If you go to a doctor and they tell you you're diabetic and you need to take this, you need to first look and see what taking this is. Just recently, over the last 2 or 3 years, there's a new diabetic drug that just come out. And they knew when they put it out that it could cause death, it could aggravate the condition, it could make it worse, it could kill you. And because of the greed of man, and because they wanted to, glucophage and all of those things work fine, they wanted something new. And these, because of money, they kept pushing this thing. They got it through Congress. They got it through the AMA. Everybody say, take this, take this, take this. And then 2 or 3 years later, they're telling you that it's causing death. Mm. So you got to. That's why you need to really look at what you're doing when you go to these doctors and they tell you what to take. You really need to look at what they're telling you to take and determine the other side of the story, because they knowingly push a deadly drug on people and they know it's going to kill them. So you got to be mindful that these things, you know, whatever the doctors say, you need to check out too. You need to question the doctor. You need to find out how many people have been healed, how many people have been killed, and all those kind of things from a result of what he's telling you to do. But that's the case is still going on. I can give you the reference to it if I can find it here. But there was a new diabetic drug they just put out, and they found out it's killing people now. And, you know, it's not a big stink about it. You don't even hear about it. You don't even talk about it.
I'm just hearing about it from you.
I'm
just hearing about it from you. I didn't hear about
it,
you know.
It's a big case. I mean, but you don't hear about it because the drug companies do what they want to do. The lawyers for the drug companies do what they want to do. Congress do what they want to do. And they all get paid. And you die. That's just the way things are. We have to realize that that's the thing. But if you have diabetes, or if they tell you you got diabetes, you know it's two kinds: one that you produce insulin, and another one you don't. But I would say you can at least do the basic things: stop the sugar. You know, this new drug it causes the body to produce more sugar than it should, and you wind up going into some heart condition and you die. So you got to get control of the sugar. You got to get control of your diet. Again, the best way, the basic things you should have on yourself, on your shelf, is the 5,000 milligram non-acidic vitamin C and a good formula, herbal formula like bitter melon or pro-pancreas. There are a number of formulas that works for diabetes that work to get the pancreas regulated. And you need a good colon cleanser to get the stuff out that's causing you to be diabetic. Just those three things would be a good start. And you work with that, and as you work, the things you're taking start working, the vitamin C, the glucose formula, that kind of stuff, you're going to find that your blood sugar is going to start going down, or it's going to regulate. And as it regulates, you can begin to get off the medication. So, you know, and you need to at least get a juicer. If you got diabetes, you need to get a juicer, because what you're eating is the bottom line of what's causing you to have diabetes. So you want to go raw as much as you can, and people just have no concept of going raw. But get your juicer, juice and drink as much green leafy vegetables as you can, and monitor yourself and just work your way through this. I mean, you know, get to a place where you don't have to eat food at all, or just if you can go to raw, your pancreas get a chance to heal. It rests, you can heal, it begin to regulate itself again, and you're no longer diabetic. And that process can take as little as a week. It's just a matter of whether or not you make up your mind that this is what you need to do to get well, and know that that's what you need to do, and do it.
Everybody that's listening online, this is powerful, powerful information, and I guarantee you that somebody you know needs this information. If it's not for you personally, that's why you tuned in. There are no accidents. You know, God has you here for a reason. Either it's the answer to your prayer, or it's the answer to the prayer of somebody that you know. So I'm going to invite everybody to, if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1, and then I will bring you on board. Hey, somebody just heard me. Okay, Corey got me going to the phones, all right?
Got it.
All right. I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number. Okay, 333-3349. You're on the air with King Coy Dunston. 3349, are you there?
Mr. Dunston?
How did you do today?
Fine, how are you?
Much better now than I hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay. I've listened to your program before. And my question is, the scenario first is the fact that we understand that there are predisposing conditions that may cause certain things per doctor, what they say. You know, if it runs in the family line, they'll say, well, you're going to have it too. So sometimes that person may get that particular thing. But my question is the fact that this has happened, and then there are complications, more than one illness at a time. And I heard you talking about the vitamin C, all these different things, but for a person that really doesn't know what vitamin C we're talking about, is that for the inflammation and to help the person? But a person that has been so dependent upon their doctor, faithfully believing that this doctor is going to help them, how would you tell that person to take those steps, how to start. Because, you know, you just can't go out there because you have depended on this doctor to guide you through. So do you, would you say with the doctor and you doing what you have to do would be maybe a first step? I know it's like you have to get your mind renewed to the fact that, you know, this is different and I can do this and I can overcome this thing. But I want to know, that person that really doesn't know, always depended on the doctor, has not been independent maybe of themselves, how would you tell them to go about this? With somebody's help, with a plan before them, or just what would they do?
Well, it's nothing wrong with sitting down with, when you go to your doctor, it's nothing wrong with sitting down with him and going over these questions with your doctor. Find out how many people are healed, how many people are killed by the actions that he's asking you to do, and tell him that you will want to try something different, and you want to maybe more something more natural. And they're going to tell you that stuff is witchcraft, don't listen to that, that's going to, you can't do that. But to ask him how many people have he saved and how many people have been saved by what he told them to do, and then see what kind of response you get. Now, if your doctor can't get to that with you, if he can't work with you, then you can probably go and talk to someone, find someone that you can trust, that you can talk to, that will help you through the process, even finding another doctor if you have to. But I would again, you until you make up your mind to make up this, to make a difference, and once you make a difference and know what difference you need to make, nothing is going to happen. The same thing is going to keep happening. So you, at some point, you got to go get to a place to where you say, "Yeah, well, I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it." And either the doctor will go with me, or I'll go and find someone that will help me. And that would be my recommendation to anyone that's tired of taking the medication. Now, if they're satisfied with taking the medication or doing what the doctor say do, but keep doing that. Don't listen to anything I say. But I'm saying that these medications that the doctors are giving you, you need to make sure you know what they are, and you need to know how many people they've healed and how many people they've killed. If they can show you that this medication they're telling you have healed somebody, yeah, fine, stay with it. But I think it's impossible for a drug made by a pharmaceutical industry to do anything to heal the body. That's just my opinion. Now, everybody may not agree with that, but if that's what you want to deal with, taking a drug that you got to be dependent on the rest of your life and that can never heal anything, I can't get to that. I just can't accept that as being something that you should do. You may feel the opposite. But that's a personal decision that you can take up, and you can work through the process by talking with your doctor if you feel you need to be with your doctor, and then finding some support. Maybe your doctor can help you find someone that can help you with your diet or whatever you need to do to make this correction. And if your doctor's not willing to help you, then that's a decision you have to make, whether or not you need another doctor or you're going to do something different. I think I heard what you said, and I tried to address that.
Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to know the start for someone. They just got to make that initial step.
Yeah, only you can do that. No one else can do that. And until you take it the responsibility that you're going to be responsible for your health and you're going to do whatever you can do to make sure that you're doing what's best for you, it's not going to happen.
Right. And the analogy that I had is like you want to clean your house. Every room needs cleaning. So where do you start? That was my question, because everything is wrong. Something is wrong in every place. So just where will you start? So I understand
I would start in the refrigerator, and you know, anything that didn't give life, I would throw it away.
Yes, okay. That's good. Thank you.
Corey, I'd like to follow up on a point that she raised concerning the diagnosis or the condition running in the person's family. Now, I know that you have stated before that anything that is preventable cannot be hereditary, and I'd like you to, you know, follow up on that, because I think it's important, and the reason why I think it's important is because if let's say, for example, I thought that I contracted a condition because it ran in my family, that I got it because everybody in my family got it. If I had that position, or to take it another step, if I felt that the reason I had this condition was because the devil was attacking me, that that's why I got the condition, then in either of those scenarios, then I'm not taking any responsibility for my condition at all. And I'm saying in one situation, the devil gave it to me. In the other situation, I'm saying it ran in my family. You know, exactly. So could you talk about that, that that anything that is preventable cannot be hereditary?
Right. You have to start with the premise that the diseases that we suffer from are preventable. Most of the things that cancer, diabetes, arthritis, anything you name is preventable. Once you say it's preventable, how are you going to blame yourselves that you got it? You can't do that because you had to go to a condition to make your cells do whatever caused you to get the disease that you got. So I haven't, no one has been able to explain to me how you can, how something can be hereditary if it's preventable. I just can't get to that. That's another place that I can't go. So I would say that if you, if it's preventable and you do what's necessary to prevent it, you won't have it in the first place. And that's where I work, in this area of prevention. That's where I like to work. And if you can get to the person before they break down the genes that they that's causing their disease. Now, it may be hard to do after you have been living in a house or been living in a condition for 20, 21 years and you go out on your own. I still say it's time, you have time to change. But the problem is you have to know that you need to change. I mean, because your mother gave you pork chops every day don't mean that you have to go through life eating pork chops every day. Because if you do that, yes, it's not your genes that's killing you, it's the pork chops. You have to get that out of your diet. And once you get that out of your diet, then your cells will do what they're supposed to do. So it's a process, and that's why it's important for you to understand how the body works and what the body needs, so that you can make sure that you're giving your body what it needs, so that you can avoid these kind of what they call hereditary diseases. But they're really preventable diseases, and we're trying to prevent the disease. And if you can prevent a disease, it's not hereditary. I hope that makes sense to people, but. It makes good sense to me, but some people may still not understand the process because we are addicted to the way we live, and we're going to do anything we can to give an excuse for not doing what we know we need to do. And that's what really makes you sick, not adhering to what you know you need to do in a way, or not even knowing or not even trying to know what you need to do to keep yourself healthy. That's what makes you sick.
And the common thread that runs when you look at the families that have conditions, they all have the same thing or been diagnosed and say the things run in their family. In many cases, they're eating the same food. That's the one thing that they all might have in common.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's the common thread.
What'd you say, brother?
That's the common thread that we say is the reason why. Or the one that we ignore when we talk about having a hereditary condition is what we eat, how we eat, and what we put in our body. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got another question.
Hi, Coy. How you doing today?
All is well today. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Coy, I just wanted to also pick up on what the caller was saying, and then also what you've been saying, and the things that I'm hearing is addicted and being dependent. And, you know, if we ask most people, do you want to live? Most people will tell you, yes, I want to live. But then because of being addicted, whether it's to eating habit, whether it's being, whether you feel that, you know, I have to depend on this doctor, some of those things, these are the main things that I also see that people's minds have to be renewed, and you have to have a higher faith or a greater faith or trust in something higher than yourself to be able to renew your mind and make that change. But the reason why I also wanted to say this is because it's a situation where I know this young lady, and this is just how dependent a person can be, not only on a doctor, but they've determined they want to live, but they were diagnosed with cancer. They went through all of the surgeries and everything, and they were determined, I'm gonna beat this thing, and the results turned out good after the first surgery, and the person was planning on having a double mastectomy and all of this even after that first surgery, and before she could have the second surgery, something else popped up, and they saw some more, I guess, tumors. But the person still was determined after all of the surgery to still continue to go through all of that suffering because of their dependency and not wanting to change their current behavior, continuing to still do the same thing, eating the same way, not making any changes in their life. But, you know, it's that, you know, just picking up on what you said about that dependency on the doctor or being addicted to a certain way of living, that you are willing to even go through all of that pain and suffering to the end that you still might wind up dying from it.
That's what usually happens. That's how you die. You die from the disease because you don't do what's necessary to stop it or to reverse it. We keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That's insanity. And
yeah,
that's where
mm-hmm.
we are with our bodies. And one of the biggest contributors to that is sugar. Sugar makes you forget. It makes you, it's the first drug. And they put it in everything that you eat or buy, and it causes you not to be able to function normally. And you ask someone to stop eating, you know, they might stop eating meat, but don't talk about my sugar. You can't stop them from eating sugar because it's almost impossible not to eat sugar. It's in everything, and this
mm-hmm.
is added sugar. I'm not talking about the naturally occurring sugar in the food. They add more sugar, and it's the drug that so you can come back and buy more of their stuff. That's the addiction we have. They go into the laboratory and make something, a chip, a potato chip, and you would think there's no sugar in the potato chips, but the main ingredient to keep you coming back to it is the sugar.
Mm.
And that's how they make money. That's the economy that
we live
in. That's correct.
But you can't eat just one.
So we have to understand that before we can really do anything about it. But most of us think because it's in Safeway, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., having a wonderful conversation. Brother Coy, I got another question for you when it comes to, let's go back to raw for a minute. You mentioned raw, and when people hear, can you define that for people? Because a lot of times people might think raw. You mean just don't cook the food? I mean, you can cook food to a certain degree, and it still be considered raw. It doesn't have to be totally, completely uncooked. But the closer you get to uncooked, the better. Is that correct, Coy?
Yeah, well, that's the idea. That's the idea. And we're talking about green leafy vegetables, things that will convert to a juice. We are not talking about eating raw meat, no. But we're talking about the herbs, the spices, the herbs and the spices, the things that naturally grow out of the ground. If you can take those things and put them in a juice or a blender and blend them up, and you've got that's a raw meal. You can do that two or three times a day, and you can reverse most any condition that you are dealing with just by doing that. And you don't have to buy nothing else, but make sure that the herbs and the vitamins and the vegetables that you get are as clean as you can get, but commonly referred to as organic, and that you do as much as you can to stay on a good, clean, vegetarian juice diet. That
mm-hmm.
it's that simple. It's just getting a juicer that will convert vegetables and herbs into juices and drinking it. Now, the way you do that, the way you mix it up, you know, you can make it taste like whatever you want to make it taste like, and it doesn't have to taste bad. But it's like like if you do apple, it's the Granny Smith apple, lemon, and ginger. It's just a matter of how much you put in it. You put certainly more green apple. The next would be maybe a slice of a little slice of lemon, and the ginger to taste. And you'll be surprised at how good it tastes and how you feel after you drink it. That's just an example of a raw juice. But if you have diabetes, you want to maybe not do so much of that in terms of the sweetness of the apple. You may want to do more just the green leafy vegetable until you can get yourself under control. And all this is about getting yourself under control to where you break that addiction to all the things that we know we shouldn't have, the sugar, which is in most everything, and the sodium. So we want to get to a place to where we have it naturally occurring in the food that we eat. If you can eat fruit all day, that's fine. You can do that too. But you can, when you juice it, it concentrates it, and it gives you more of what you need in terms of restoring and healing the body. And that's the whole idea we're trying to do here. Let that pancreas rest and let your body rest. You're a live enzyme organism. You need live enzyme food. When you cook, when you eat cooked food, no matter if it's cooked, you can steam it a bit maybe, but once it's cooked, your body is going to have to find a way to break it down. And most of the time, that cooked food is, we only cook it because it's meat or something that we shouldn't be eating in the first place. So if we can get that off the table, then chances are your body will respond and you can see the difference pretty quick.
Brother, can you talk about stress for a moment, stress in the immune system? Because a lot of times people are dealing with stress, don't even know they're dealing with stress, and just we know that, you know, just certain things could be stressful to the body. I mean, just certain things, I'm sure, for example, just anybody that's been watching the news lately has just been, you know, just could allow themselves to be stressed out just by what they're, you know, hearing daily in the news. If you're reading about crime, if you're reading about what's going on, you know, in politics and all of this other kind of stuff, if you're not careful, you could think that you are stressed. Now, I just want to make a clarification here. Stress is your response to a situation. It's not the situation itself, okay? Nobody can you out. Okay, your response, you may have a stress response because the same person that you might say stresses you out, if they were that type, they would stress everybody out. But there are some people that you might think stress you out, but other people can deal with them just fine. Okay, so it's actually our reaction to situations that will be or could be stressful. Now, that stress reaction is still stress. So that can have an effect on my body, and it's going to be detrimental to me. So if we could talk about just ways of dealing with stress, maybe meditation, yoga, or something, even for seniors, that would be helpful.
All of that would be helpful. Those are kind of exercises, but probably the most important thing to do is to learn how to breathe, because when you're stressed, you're shallow breathing, and you're not getting oxygen into your lungs and throughout the body. So the first thing you want to do before you get out of the bed in the morning is make sure you take some deep breaths to make this, push that oxygen all the way down to the bottom of your gut and that make your stomach swell up and then let it out. And you want to do that, maybe slow it up to so you can do maybe 10 to 15 in a minute. The slower you do it, the more control you have over your stress. So your breathing is the first thing you want to do. The next thing you want to do is take away the things that deplete the body of nutrition to help you to defend the stress. Because the stress attacks your immune system, and that's your health. So if you can eliminate the sugar, eliminate the coffee, eliminate all the things that we know that we shouldn't be doing, that will, help you deal with stress. And if you live in America, you're under stress, and if you're black in America, that's your life. So you have to learn how to to control and deal with stress in a way that it that you control it and it doesn't control you. Because one of the first signs that you're stressed is your pressure is going to start going up because your circulatory system is under stress because it's not getting enough oxygen, to number one, and number two, you're probably not getting enough water. Before you leave home in the morning, you probably need to drink at least a quart of water and drink a couple of more throughout the day. And that's something that can dehydration and stress are the two things that, dehydration leads to stress because your body can't function because you're not getting enough water, and you're going to get stressed because of that, and you're not eating right, and what you are eating, it's depleting your body of nutrition because it's stuff you don't really need to eat. So you got a double whammy when it comes to stress, and that's why you get the heart attacks and the aneurysms and all the pain that comes with living in this world every year because we don't know how to keep that stress at bay in a way that it don't affect us that way. If you learn how to breathe and learn how to slow down and meditate and all the things that we can do, if you don't know how to do that, you can get there classes out here. You can get a class. You can go online, find a class on breathing, find a class on yoga, and just go. You know what I mean? You don't have to have a reason to go. Just go and see what it's about. And you'll find that once you start participating in it, you'll see what we're talking about when we say you can handle your stress in a way that it doesn't handle you, and you get caught up in the high blood pressure and the pain and all the things that we go through in terms of living, trying to live in this world. So, yeah, I would recommend that in terms of stress. That's what you do when you don't do what you're supposed to do. You're creating all this stress on your body, and your body cannot take this stress, and you break down into disease.
Brother Coy, what about fasting for seniors? Would it be advisable for seniors to fast, or what would be your thoughts on fasting for seniors? Well, I know you took your mama through a fast.
I would say once you get control of yourself and you know where your vitals are, I would say that's when you want to fast. Because that's where you reverse the aging process. You get rid of the stress because you can't fast and run around and try to do everything too. You gotta go to a place to where you gotta go to inside yourself, and to do that you gotta kind of let the world around you let go. And I know it seems hard to do sometimes, but if you let people know, or if you set aside the time, even if it's nothing but 2 or 3 days, just set aside the time to do that. And if you don't want to be around people, you want to answer your cell phone, you don't want nobody calling you, then do that. That's again a part of the discipline that is necessary for you. You're doing it for you. It's not for someone else. So if you disappear for a couple of days, or even a week, or even 2 weeks, if that's the kind of time you want to set aside to fast, then that's the first step. You decide how long. Then you decide what you're going to do on the fast. Are you going to do the enemas? Are you going to do juicing? Or all of that kind of stuff. You got to line that up before you even think about the fasting. And then once you know how you're going to fast and what you're going to fast with, then you can begin to get yourself in order to fast, and you'll find that once you start the fasting, your stress level goes down. You detox your body with the enemas and all of that, and you find that you're much more relaxed and you're rejuvenated. It's like a spiritual rejuvenation you get when you fast. So, yes, I would recommend it. If you have serious conditions, then you want to be more careful maybe. But that is the best way to heal your body is to fast. The spiritual rejuvenation healing fast, I call it, will almost reverse any disease that you have or any condition that you're trying to deal with. It's learning to fast. And that's the best way to break these addictions from the sugar and the drugs and the smoking and the coffee and all that. Fasting is a way to do that. And you got to clear the space to do that, number one, and then decide how you're going to do it and what you're going to ingest and how you're going to get there. And we have a little pamphlet that talk about spiritual rejuvenating fast, and that's really the best way to go about healing the body. Just cut off everything, even your friends and relatives and wife and all of that. Just get rid of all of that for a minute, and explain to them if you have to that this is what I'm doing. It's for me, and I'll be better. And if they can't get with that, then do it anyway.
They stay cut off. Stay cut off. Do they need to be cut off?
Yes, sir. But usually, if you say you're going to do that, and if you talk it over with your mate, or you say I want you to do this with me, and we're going to do this together, it makes it better. So if you can bring somebody along with you, it makes it a much easier. You can bounce off what's happening with you and understand that this is what we are going through. You're going to grow closer together, and you're going to be you're going to be best friends after that.
Well, Brother Coy, I was just thinking, we got to do a show called God, the Devil, and Your Health, because I think that would be a very, very powerful show, God, the Devil, and Your Health, because we know that there are a lot of people. I mean, the churches are full of God-fearing, God-loving, praying, tithing, sick people. You know, the church is full of believers who go to church regularly, might be, hold an office in the church, might be, the pastors are sick.
Yeah.
So maybe we can go on God, the Devil, and Your Health, because just your belief in God, in many cases, there are exceptions, okay? But in many cases, far too many cases, I dare say most cases, the people that are in the churches are some of the sickest folk. And partly, I think that is because they just assume that they can eat whatever they want to eat, and God's going to protect them, and then they blame the devil if God don't.
Right.
So maybe we can do any thoughts on that?
Well, there's a tree of life and there's a tree of death, and then you have the power to choose which one you take. If you eat off the tree of life, you're going to be all right. If you eat off the tree of death, you're going to die. I mean, that's the whole notion behind that tree of life thing. You got to do what's necessary to eat off that tree. If you don't get up and go pick the fruit off the good tree, and you get stuck on the bad tree, you're not doing yourself any flavor. So yeah, that I'll agree with that. That is the crux of the matter as making that decision to do the right thing.
Everybody, I want to make sure that you know how you can get in contact with King Coy Dunstan. If you heard this information and you like it, and that was just a rhetorical question. I said, if you heard it, I know you heard it, and I know you liked it. Brother Coy, could you give your information, hours of operation, ways in which people can reach you? And if you just so happen to not be in the D.C. area, you might be anywhere across the United States or across the world. Don't let that be a deterrent from getting in contact with Coy. He can ship whatever you need to you. So he has an awesome shop called Secrets of Nature, and he does sell products. We're not pushing a particular product. I mean, different brands, you pick, you call him and tell him what you got and tell him what you need and listen to his recommendations, and I guarantee you will be better for it. Brother Coy, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, Secrets of Nature is located in Washington, D.C., Southwest Side, 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest Washington, D.C., 20032. The telephone is 202-562-0041. My hours of operations are 8 to 6 daily. Probably during the week is the best time. Sometimes I'll be out doing other things on the weekend, but usually I'm here on the weekend. But if you want to talk to me, call. If I'm not here, leave a message. I can get back with you, and we can talk about what you want to talk about. Or if you happen to be in the area, just stop by and come in and see me. We got, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised with the food and the camaraderie and the friendship here, and we try to keep it that way. But 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest Washington, D.C., 20032, and the telephone is 202-562-0041. You can call any time, and if you don't get an answer, just leave a message, and we'll get back with you as soon as we can. So we could appreciate any conversation that you need to do. We can work with from there, and if we need to arrange to send you something, we can do that. If you want to know how to find me, just call me and ask me, and I can let you know a good time to come and the best time to come or whatever. So, yeah, come in and call me or talk to me or phone me or whatever.
Brother Coy, I'm going to go back to, before we go, I'm going to go back to 3349. I'm coming back to you because I see your light is lit up on your phone, so I don't know if you pressed it again and have another question or if it just never went out the first time. So I'm coming back to you, 3349. Are you still there? Did you have another question for Brother Coy? 3349? Okay, I guess you never. Is that you? 3349, are you there? Okay, she didn't have another question. Well, Brother Coy, I want to thank you for a powerful, powerful interview. Before we go, I'd like to make an announcement. Saturday, March the 18th at 5 p.m., everybody. If you're in the Chicago area, get ready. If you know Orwad, Dr. Orwad, he met to Ryan Comet, has written a brand new book. It's called Divine Kingship of Asante, a Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community. Again, that's Divine Kingship of Asante, a Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community. He's on a book tour, and on Saturday, March the 18th, he's going to be doing and discussing his book and having a book signing, and that's at 5 p.m. if you're in the Chicago area. That's at 2108 71st Street. That's at on the second floor in Chicago, Illinois. And for more information, please dial 773-789-9074. Again, that's 773-789-9074. It's two blocks east of Jeffrey Boulevard. Again, that's Dr. Hehi Metara in common. That's Orwad Hehi Metara in Chicago on Saturday, March the 18th at 5 p.m., and he's going to talk about his brand new book, Divine Kingship of Asante, a Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community. Going to be talking about insights into time-tested models of Black self-government, sustainable community development from the experience of modern and ancient African kings. So you don't want to miss that if you're in the Chicago area. Make sure you check that out. One more time for the telephone number. For more information, please call 773-789-9074. Brother Coy, awesome, awesome show, my brother. As always, it's always a blessing when I have an opportunity to talk to you, and then not just talk to you, but to share you with other people, because I know that if they just pick up the phone and call you and take a chance, you know, I know that when it comes to hearing information like this, if you're not hearing information like this on a regular basis, if people that are in your circle aren't into holistic health and you're hearing this information for the first time, or, you know, you may have thought about it, but, you know, you didn't really delve into it much. We're talking about making a lifestyle change. We're talking about doing something that's going to save your life. And one of my guests, Dr. Watkins, says this all the time, that if when you look in the mirror, you see somebody that you feel is worth changing for, then you have everything. You have all of the tools that you need. We have an archives with King Coy Dunstan all throughout the archives. I mean, we've talked about diabetes. We've talked about, he's done a whole show on diabetes. He's actually done a whole show on high blood pressure. Those shows are in the archives. We've done shows on heart trouble. I mean, lupus. I mean, we've done shows on arthritis. I mean, you name it. I can't think of a show that we haven't done I can't think of a condition that we haven't done shows on. We've done shows on men's health. We've done shows on erectile dysfunction. I mean, we've done shows on prostate cancer, colon cancer. All these shows are in the archives, okay? So whatever the condition is, and you came to this information, you didn't come by accident. It's either for you or it's for somebody that you know. Take a stroll down the archives and look at the shows that we have. We've got other regular guests that come on as well. Dr. Ruby Lathan, she cured herself of thyroid cancer by just changing her diet to a livid. She got on a plant-based diet, and voila, the cancer was gone. Dr. Watkins is a regular on the show. He comes on once a month, and we talk about, matter of fact, he's coming on Sunday. Matter of fact, Dr. Watkins is going to be coming on this Sunday at 8 a.m., and we're going to be talking about the benefits of beans. Now, that should be a very, very interesting show. Okay, so I can't wait to talk to him about that. So make sure you tune in this Sunday at 8 a.m. My special guest is going to be Dr. Ted Watkins. But today, you've had the honor and the privilege of listening to King Coy Dunstan, cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver, and her colon. Brother Coy, again, I want to just take a moment and thank you for all of the work that you've done to help us. I mean, I know that we can be a stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed people when it comes to our food,
we
man.
Do that.
We don't want nobody messing with our food. Don't take nothing from us.
Messing with my poke chop, man.
So, I mean, for all of your patience, because it takes a special person with a special kind of patience and heart to do the work that you do, my brother. And I'm just humbled to call you a friend, my brother, and to, you know, have had the opportunity of knowing you all these years and to have been able to share you with other people. Any closing words for our listeners today?
Well, I'd like to express my appreciation for what you do, because if you didn't do what you do, no one would hear me, and I have to say thank you for that. And I would just encourage everyone to just kind of wake up, smell the coffee, maybe the tea at this time, and begin to take your own self, take your own health in your own hands, and do the things that you learn how, if you don't know, how to do the things that you need to do to make sure that you live a happy, healthy, and a prosperous life. That would be my parting statement.
Well, everybody, make sure that you give Brother Coy a call at 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Again, the title of this show was You're Never Too Old to Change. Holistic health is you are never too old. There's a saying they had back in the day. I don't know if they still use it. They said you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? But not relating anybody to a dog, but it is true that, I mean, science has shown that we do have four brains. One is the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, the prefrontal cortex, and others. So actually, you know, there might be an animal. We do have an animal brain, you know, but not referring to anybody as a dog. But no, we can learn. We can take steps and to change our life. And if you happen to be a senior, if you just happen to be listening to this show and you just so happen to be a senior, look, you want your latter days to be your best days. You don't want to go out sick. You don't want to go out taking medication. So give Brother Coy a call and see what changes, what tweaking you might need to do to your lifestyle to live the best possible life that you can be. God put you here to be healthy. So that's my last statement for tonight. Brother Coy, I want to say thank you to all of the listeners and callers. Thank you so much. I know you could be doing anything else. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you much for supporting this show, and thank you for calling in today. Brother Coy, I appreciate you, my brother. I will be in touch, sir.
I look forward to that. You be blessed.
All right. Thank you, sir. Everybody, okay. My name is Jawanza. You are listening to King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Remember, don't let distance deter you, okay? He can ship stuff to you wherever you are, so there's no excuse. If you want somebody, you went to the doctor and the doctor gave you a bad report, call Brother Coy. set up a time where you can just sit down and speak with him, okay, about whatever it is that the doctor has told you, okay, because this show could be the answer to your prayers, okay?
Yeah.
This show could be the answer to the prayers or the prayers of somebody that you know. So tell them to tune in. Again, my name is Jawanza. I thank you so much for your time. Until the next time, everybody, peace and blessings.